The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you to the final hour. It's been a busy one. We still have a few more guests to go, but time for your phone calls. And Jimmy is up next. Good afternoon, Jimmy. How are you? Jimmy, yeah. There?
Hey.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yes. Yeah, Jimmy in Georgia. How you doing, Paul? First time getting through to you. Been trying forever. Love you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, man. Look, Tennessee. I'm a big Vol fan. Been Vol fan all my life. Grew up near Johnson City, Tennessee, and obviously Tennessee's got a lot of problems right now, but what I don't understand, firing the D-line coach, when the D-line, to me, from what I'm seeing, has kept them in the game, especially against Georgia. You kidding me? We can stop Georgia at the one-yard line, two or three plays in a row, and you can fire the D-line coach? We had big, high hopes for this offensive line, and the offensive line has really let us down from what we've been hurt, you know. We've been told that they're one of the best in the SEC East. And the offensive line has really – I mean, we should be able to run the ball on anybody from what I've heard. And also, Jarrett Guarantano, yes, he's inconsistent. But the boy's tough as heck, man. And, you know, I feel bad for him. Guarantano's biggest problem is his confidence problem, not his skill. He's got plenty of skill. He don't show confidence, and the team feeds off of that. Even when he's winning, he just don't show confidence in his face. And I think the team feeds off of that. I think it's one of our biggest letdowns. Not his skill level. He can really play. Yes, he has some bad games, but he has some great games. And what do you think about all that?
Yeah, I don't understand the firing of the coach. I mean, the only way I would consider that is if the coach just simply, you know, was insubordinate or did something that was unforgivable. But, you know, for Jeremy Pruitt to say it was philosophical, I mean, that's absurd. You know how to, you do those things before you hire a coach. You don't do that afterwards. So I think it's mysterious. I don't know whether Pruitt lost his cool and decided to play the blame game, but it makes him look pretty small. I will tell you that. Thank you very much for the call. And Joe is in North Carolina. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul. Couple things. I had to laugh the other day when you came on there and said the comeback of the Gamecocks. Let me tell you something. I call him Must Chump because he's no champ. And he's not the answer. And I'm afraid the win over Auburn's going to be like the game last year, helping keep his job for another year. I want to tell you about, I saw on the other day in the paper, or on AOL.com, they were talking about the tie game of Auburn and Tennessee. And a lot of people may not know this story, but in 65, I was a 14-year-old sitting in the stands at Legion Field. That was when Staber was a sophomore, and he could play then. And they were playing, and they weren't moving the ball. And so finally, Bear put Staber in the game, and they drove down, and they got down to about the 3-yard line, called a timeout. It was third down, and Bear sent him back in the game. Said, "All right, roll out to the left. He's not open. Throw it away. We'll kick the field goal and go home." Well, what did Staber do? Staber thought he could run in the end zone, and he came up short, just short of the goal line. They lined up real quick. Staber raised up, threw the ball out of bounds, and stopped the clock. Game over.
I did. You know, I have heard about it. I've never really heard it described. I knew he did that, but that is incredible. No, I mean, we're talking about one of the greatest.
That's what Bear told him to do. Other thing, last year I went to the Alabama-South Carolina game, and I was sitting there in the stands, and I was talking to this guy next to me, and talking about how I thought that the Gamecocks needed to go back to Ray Tanner and say, "Look, Ray, we know you're a good baseball coach. You need to get rid of the baseball coach you hired. He's no good. You can go back to being the baseball coach, or you can just, you know, be gone, because then we're going to get rid of Muschamp." And I was talking to him. And then the second half, I was talking to this guy, and I said, "So who do you work for?" And he told me he was the accountant for the athletic department.
Well,
I said to him, I guess – I shouldn't have said that. He said, no, that's okay. He said, Ray and I talk. He hears that kind of stuff, so it's no big deal. But a lot of people in South Carolina think Tanner's the problem, that he's put all his eggs in the Muschamp basket. And, I mean, you know, Muschamp, you look at his – when he first came there, Paul, in his opening press conference, he got up there and he said, let me tell you, folks, I can recruit. Just look at my wife.
Yeah,
well,
I remember that.
He doesn't have a dog for a wife because he's not recruiting. He's not getting
the players. I've heard that line, Joe, 100 times in my history of covering press conferences. Might be time to retire that one.
Yeah, because, you know, you look at their recruiting, and, like, the best player I think they've got is, like, number 347th ranked player in the country. And then you got, you know, Dabo up the street up there, and, you know, he's got three in the top 10 or whatever. And, I mean, Gamecocks will not beat Clemson. Gamecocks play hard, but they just don't have the talent. I mean, and I don't look for them to be at LSU tomorrow. Like I said, a lot of people are kind of concerned that I think that by him winning that Auburn game. But let me just say this. By them beating Auburn, that doesn't say the Gamecocks are there. What that tells you is the state of Auburn's program.
You may be right about that. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much.
I only had hell for 2.5 hours.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad you got on. I apologize for that. Fridays are busy days. I don't ever want anybody to have to hold that long, but Fridays we run through so many different guests. But I'm glad you got in. John is up next in Georgia. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
We're doing well.
Thank you for taking my call. Hey, just wanted to get your opinion on a couple of things here, man. I'm a big Georgia fan. Took a big loss last week. But, man, what do you think about old Bennett, man? Do you think Kirby should have took him out after especially three picks and overthrowing Pickens a couple times, man? And he threw to Burton almost the whole game. Like, come on, man. We got two other great wide receivers out there. We got some running backs that can catch the ball as well. Switch it up. You know, we have two other quarterbacks that are great.
I would like to see – I mean, certainly I'd like to see other quarterbacks play now. I mean, I just think it's just interesting how his comfort level seems to be pretty high for Stetson, but – I don't know many people that think Stetson can lead them to a championship.
The way I think of it is, you know, Alabama saw the first, three games before we played Alabama with nothing but Bennett in there. They never saw film on the other two quarterbacks that we got. You know, they're four or five stars. Put them in the second half. Give them a chance. You know, they haven't seen any film on them. Run some plays with them. Trick them up. Do something. And yeah, he's still, man, Bennett's just, he's like a minor league Trump. You know, he's a good quarterback, but he's not a winning quarterback toward championships.
Yeah, you're not the only one who thinks that. Hey, thank you for the call. Will is in Oxford, Mississippi. Hey, Will, afternoon.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing well.
I was just curious what you thought about after Ole Miss's horrendous performance against Arkansas last week, specifically Matt Corral's six interceptions, if you think we'll see more of John Rhys Plumlee tomorrow.
Yeah, it's such a weird question because until that game, Matt Corral was playing about as well as anybody in the country. But I happen to like Plumlee. I would like to see him get a shot, especially in situations. Tomorrow, I know it may upset or impact the rhythm, but I think Ole Miss's best shot tomorrow, though, is to stay the course and just try to do exactly what it did against Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, the Alabama game was absolutely electric, especially as a student. I mean, Lane Kiffin just has Oxford completely turned around. I've never seen everyone so hyped up and electric about our football team. I think he's the answer, and I thought it was going to happen, but I truly believe, like you've said before, that Lane Kiffin will be the first Nick Saban disciple to take him to his knees.
And you know what, Will, you already know this. He came dangerously close to doing that 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. It was just great. And then the other thing I was wondering, what do you think about A&M's football right now? You know, I think they're playing good, but I think to be as ranked as high as they are, I feel like they've probably got an upset coming their way.
Yeah, the main reason they're ranked that high is that there really isn't a lot to choose from, and that's going to change this weekend. You know, with Ohio State and other Big Ten teams jumping on board, and then next week with the Pac-12. But I was talking, I guess it was a Tessitore a couple of hours ago. North Carolina was about to move up. They lost. Notre Dame was going to move up. They played terribly. So you're really running at, and because of the conference schedules, and you know, you're seeing a lot of cannibalization, and I think that is creating that issue, but I believe it will change. Hey, good to hear from you. Thank you very, very much. We are heading to a break. More to come on the program, more of your phone calls. Also check in with Chris Doering with his look ahead to tomorrow's slate. All that coming up next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and it's Friday, obviously, and we always check in with Chris Doering on Friday afternoon, and Chris has been somewhat unkind to the Auburn Tigers the last couple of weeks and has hit the bullseye with his thoughts on what the Tigers had in store. Chris, thanks for the time. Auburn starts it off tomorrow at Oxford. Auburn fans have had a rough week. They're not the only ones, but let's start there.
Yeah, nothing personal towards Auburn. I don't like a lot of things about them. You know, I don't like their offense primarily. I go back and watch the tape, and I know everybody's kind of down on on Bo Nix right now, but I look around, I see the receivers. They lead the conference in drops at this point in time. I see the offensive line busting protections. Right now, Bo Nix feels like he's the only guy that can win the game, and he's putting too much on his shoulders. So they got to get back to running the football. I think they'll have a great opportunity to do that against an Ole Miss defense that's pretty bad anyway, but let alone the issues that they're having with COVID and having to move guys from offense to the other side of the ball. So I don't expect them to throw the football a ton, but that doesn't mean they necessarily solve their issues. I think back to just a couple weeks ago, we were clamoring about this Ole Miss offense and how much fun it is to watch Matt Corral pulling the trigger as the maestro of that offense. And hey, I'm not going to get down on the guy. Guy throws 6 picks. That's all right. He's going to battle back from that. He's going to learn from those mistakes. Teams are going to continue to drop into coverage. They're going to continue to try to make him work his way down the field and take away the big plays. So he's got to learn to be a little bit more patient. But we're not far removed from watching Matt Corral and that offense put up 600 yards plus against Florida. We're not far removed from watching them put up almost 50 against Alabama. So I think they get back to doing the things that they do. And I think Auburn continues to play the way they have. And I think Ole Miss wins the football game at home.
Woo, I didn't see that one coming. I thought you were just kind of shifting off. So once again, the maestro has gone against the Auburn Tigers. Really should be 3 in a row, of course.
Give me at least 2.5,
forever,
right?
Give me
2.5 on that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean you do. I can declare you do not get a loss there. That was a win.
Thank you.
Matt picks Auburn to go down against Ole Miss. Close game, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a close game, but I do think that there's too much offense for Ole Miss. I don't believe that Auburn can score with them, and I'm down on Auburn where they are right now. They've got to do a better job of getting guys open. I watched some of their passing concepts. I don't think they do a lot, and that's in comparison across the state to what Sark's doing at Alabama. It's just night and day right now in terms of what you're seeing schemed in the passing game.
Okay, we'll head to Columbia, where the Wildcats, coming off of one of its biggest wins in a long time, take on Missouri, which had to sit last week out, but is still cherishing that huge win over LSU. What gives?
Well, I feel bad for Missouri because I think they probably would have picked up their second win of the season if they hadn't had that cancellation against Vanderbilt. But now they're catching a team that I think is finally trending in the right direction. It was almost like that 0-2 start. They had a little Simba moment where Mufasa came to him and told him, hey, remember who you are, right? Remember who you are, Kentucky. Play defense, run the football. And that's what they were able to do last week. In the last two games, 10 turnovers after not having any in the first two games of the season. The defense is playing more stout, scoring on their own. And you're looking at a team that ran for 158 yards in the second half last week. So I do think Kentucky's feeling it right now. I think they're getting back to being the team I thought they were going to be in the preseason. And while Missouri's getting healthier and get some of their guys back, I just think they're catching Kentucky at the wrong time.
Okay, big game. Well, I'll say this with a straight face. Big game in Knoxville. It should be a big game. Tennessee's program was moving in the right direction not all that long ago, but right now nobody knows what's up in Rocky Top. What about this game? Can Tennessee hang?
What a difference like six quarters make, right? I mean, you talk about them heading in the right direction. Literally, it was six quarters ago that they were up at halftime against Georgia. We were feeling really good about their defense, their defensive line. They had two great stops on fourth down, one in the field, one at the goal line right before halftime. And now here we are. They fire their defensive line coach this week. Don't know what the situation is going to be at the quarterback spot. Offensive line, who I thought was going to be a strength, is now a considerable weakness. And they're going into the Alabama game that is certainly not an opponent you want to face when you don't have things heading in the right direction. But I think you look back to last year. This was the game that I think changed the fortunes for Tennessee against Alabama. They were 2-4 heading into that game against the Tide. They didn't win, but they played really competitively. They had the issue with Jarrett Garantano kind of taking things on his own shoulders and trying to quarterback sneak it when nobody else knew what was going on. But I think they rallied because of that. So I don't see that happening again here, but I wouldn't put it past them to have some sort of miraculous fight and coming together and seeing if they can't be competitive. But at the end of the day, I just think you saw Georgia, that defensive effort, 41 points holding Alabama to 41 points. That's going to be one of the best defensive efforts of the year. I think we just have to reassess what we think of being good defense against Alabama, because you think about it, they probably have 10 possessions in the game tomorrow. If you stop them on six, you feel pretty good about yourself, right? So you're at 42 points right there. They just got to find a way to force some field goals, get off the field. And I just don't think Tennessee's at a point where they can do that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, when you play Alabama, I thought that was interesting about the possessions. What's your end game? Just try to stop them a couple of times and hope?
Yeah, you got to eliminate the big plays, first of all. I mean, Alabama's been a killer the last couple of years, and particularly this year with the deep balls. So you got to eliminate the big plays. You got to try to put pressure on Mac Jones, which nobody has done. I think Georgia did it at times the other night, but not consistently. And you're seeing a guy I don't think Mac Jones is getting the credit that he deserves. And I don't know if it's because he's following in the footsteps of Tua or this offense has just been rolling the way it has the last couple of years. But people don't realize right now what he's doing in terms of accuracy, what he's doing in terms of deep balls, the throws down the field of 30 yards or more. I mean, he puts it right on the money for these receivers. And obviously, you've got a talented group of wide receivers that's able to make plays after the catch. But I do think the biggest thing, it's almost like stopping LSU last year. You saw Auburn do a great job of keeping everything underneath, making them drive the distance of the field, and having great defense in the red zone. And I don't know that there's a lot of teams that can do that. I thought Georgia might be the best defense posed to do it. But if you look at the schedule, who's the next best defense that Alabama plays this year? Maybe Kentucky? And certainly I don't believe Kentucky can score with Alabama. So what I thought was going to be a season where we wouldn't have any undefeated teams is looking more and more likely that that's probably not going to be the case.
And tomorrow night, it's a short schedule tomorrow because of COVID and buys, everything being rearranged. South Carolina at LSU, I mean, Gamecock fans are brimming with excitement right now, and we all know the LSU story. Take us through this game.
Yeah, they're another team that's trending in the right direction. I know Will Muschamp's really confident about where they are at this point. I look back to the things that they've tried to accomplish the last couple of years. Heading into the season, they've wanted to be able to run the ball better. They wanted to have better play from the offensive line. And they've had that this year. I mean, I think they've done a great job, especially on the interior. They got to figure out their tackle situation a little bit better. But Kevin Harris has been a godsend for them after losing Marshawn Lloyd in the preseason. They definitely got to find a number two to Shai Smith. I think I saw some stat, Paul, where Shai Smith has been targeted 49 times this year, which is more than the next three leading receivers for South Carolina combined. Everybody knows that that's the guy that the offense runs through. So I'm anxious to see if the defense for LSU decides to go with Derek Stingley Jr. matched up on Shai Smith all day. And if so, is he able to take him away? And who does South Carolina make their number two? Great story this week about Jalen Brooks being made eligible, an opportunity to play, a guy that was amongst running with the ones in the preseason. So a lot of hype about him. I'm anxious to see if he can be that guy that takes some of the pressure off of Shai Smith. But I think at the end of the day, LSU just has too many issues right now. I know they got the bye week. I know they tried to simplify things defensively. Just think about how simple they're going to have to be on offense with a true freshman starting and an offensive line that hasn't really been able to open up many holes for the run game. So I think it's a recipe for LSU to lose to South Carolina, which they haven't done very much historically, especially in Baton Rouge.
Well, short lineup, but some fascinating games. Chris, thanks for dropping in. We always appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Paul. Have a great weekend.
You got it, man. A couple of interesting games to watch, especially that Auburn-Ole Miss game. A lot of variance of opinions on that. But Chris, once again, this is the third week in a row, he is going against the Auburn Tigers. We will get your reaction to all of that. You want to give us a ring, you can do so now, 855-242-7285. We started 3.5 hours ago. We had Scott Strickland on, AD at Florida, giving us an update on where that program is. It reopens for business on Monday, and we are coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back to the program. Great to have everyone here. And more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's check in with Joanne in Memphis. Good afternoon, Joanne.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you.
It's always good to get a chance to chat with you, and especially on a Friday.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to say that I concur with I-Man about just being happy to see football. And I have also enjoyed your interviews with the various athletic directors. And I feel like that's a good thing for the general public to get to hear their take on how things are going.
I thought Scott was great today, but I thought I really appreciated Greg Byrne yesterday, because so many people just want to move past COVID, and I thought he really helped a lot of people by talking about what he's been through. He's a young guy,
exactly,
too.
Exactly. I thought it was very fascinating to get to hear from, I don't want, victim, I guess, is not really a good word, but...
It depends on how bad it is. Yeah, I mean, you're right. But no, he Yeah, he was very honest, and it's not like any of us can't run into it, no matter how hard you try not to. And I think he has done everything right, and he still got it.
Right, absolutely. Well, speaking of athletic directors, as I mentioned before, my dad was an athletic director, and I just wanted to share with you that sometimes after the football games, he would bring home, back in the olden days when you had ticket stubs, and dump them on the floor and have us count them. So I don't know how accurate the counts for attendance
back
in the 70s, but we got to participate in doing that, so...
That I know we've talked about this, but growing up around that, Joanne, I'm sure you learned so many things. You were around so many interesting people. It had to really shape your young life, did it not?
Well, I definitely am a very big sports fan, maybe verging on addict. So
that's okay.
But I recorded a football game from the weekend and perished the thought that I didn't get to see any over the weekend because our daughter was being married out on the coast of Oregon.
Oh, my goodness.
I was a little bit preoccupied. But I watched it on Wednesday morning or evening. I can't even remember now. But it was really good because I hadn't seen it. I did know the outcome. But
How was the wedding?
The wedding was very good. It was an all-day affair of hiking for the bride and groom, and so they were on the cliffs and the forest, and then we met in the middle of the day for the actual ceremony, and her father was the officiant, which he's never done it before, so that was a little bit extra excitement slash nerves, but it was very nice, and today's their one-week anniversary, so they're driving back from Oregon to Kentucky, so... it went well, and it was postponed from March, so it was a long-awaited event.
Yeah, obviously you don't, but a lot of people, this pandemic has affected us all. We think about it in terms of, well, is the football game going to be on? But so many life events have taken its toll,
and graduations, and other sports too. Not even coming from swimming, the pools not being open and just, X number when they did open, they could only have certain lanes used. So, yeah, it's a big impact. And so I find following the information that you're giving us from the different athletic directors or the different conferences and all has been very interesting and compelling and real-life stuff. So.
Yeah, those athletic directors collectively have all had to burden, as you know, living with it, so much responsibility. Thank you, right. Joanne. And congratulations again on the wedding. That's great.
Oh, well, thank you, and you have a wonderful weekend and enjoy all games.
Thank you very much. We plan on it.
Thank you.
Be well. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Chris, who is up next. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Chris, we're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just wondering, man. I was just thinking, Auburn, I don't understand how they're going to even keep a good quarterback because, for one thing, is that Gus won't give another quarterback a chance since he got Bo Nix started. He lost a pretty decent quarterback. And I'm thinking that it's going to probably be hard for him to recruit a decent quarterback. And the week they played last week, they played and they didn't run Tank hardly none, and I couldn't understand it.
Well, I think you make a good point. That's why I think tomorrow is so important for Auburn, because I think we're in recruiting now, and I don't know really. You're right. I mean, he lost Malik Willis was there a couple of years ago as a backup to Stidham, and then obviously he lost Gatewood, but those are not going to be good stories for him on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, and I can't understand it. I mean, he making it bad for his own self, for his recruit, because ain't nobody going to want to come there knowing that Bo still got two more years there, and they ain't want to sit on the bench now if they have a decent quarterback.
You're right about that. Brock is up next. Hey, Brock, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Brock, I'm well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So I want to talk about Texas A&M. You know, there's a lot of talk about the SEC getting two teams in and being Alabama and Georgia, but if you look at A&M's schedule, and I think they have Arkansas, South Carolina, Tennessee, Ole Miss, LSU, and Auburn, there's not a game in that stretch where A&M wouldn't be favored, in my mind. They should win all of those games. And unlike Georgia, they don't have to beat Alabama again or play Alabama again to go 9-1. And if they're 9-1 and Georgia doesn't beat Bama a second time, why can't A&M be in that competition?
Well, Brock, I mean, I couldn't begin to argue with you that they can't. I think you know, a couple of road games in there, they need to negotiate. I'm not really sure it makes a lot of sense debating that right now, but I appreciate the call. Pappy is up next. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Pappy, we're doing great. Thank you.
Since you're a UT graduate, I want you to pointedly answer, is Tennessee and Alabama still a rivalry, in your opinion?
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear the honesty. I agree with that. So I just, being very, very old, I just have one other statement of fact in the history of the SEC. When this game has been played on the fourth Saturday of October instead of the third, Tennessee is 4-1. So since it's 2020, I thought I'd bring that to our viewers, and we'll see what happens on Saturday.
Well, you know what's interesting, Pappy? Before the season, Tennessee fans looked at Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Oklahoma was on the schedule originally, and were trying to come up with who would be the easiest win. A lot of them thought it would be Georgia. Obviously, that train has passed. Georgia, Oklahoma's gone. Florida, to be determined. But I haven't heard anyone pick Alabama to lose this game. So I didn't realize the fourth Saturday jinx. Hey, thanks for the call. Heading to a break. Final one of this week, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.